Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation meeting on Thursday, 6 December. On the call today, we have Ron Andrews, Wolf Ulkrich-Noben, J. Scott Evans, Anne Aikman-Scavise, and Avery Doya. We have apologies from Mary Wong, James Bledel, Jennifer Standiford, and Angie Graves. And from staff, we have Marika Konings, Julie Headland, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much. And let's step into the agenda. Anything to disclose regarding a statement of interest? I hear none. So let's ask for the approval of agenda. Is there anything to amend, anything to add? Everybody satisfied? Thank you. So then let's step into the agenda. So with the first point, which is chair and vice chair election, which we have been talking sometimes about, there is a proposal at the table for the process to elect chair and vice chair, and at the time being, we have so far two candidates for the chair. The one is Avery, and the other one is Ron Andruff. I put a proposal to the table how we could proceed with the election, which mainly is should be done through a balloting, Glenn, and so we could talk about how we. If that is what you expect, how to deal with it, and if you have any comments to that, what is proposed here at the table, I can briefly go through. It means everybody of, as it was in the first, at the first time when you had elections, everybody of the members and the alternate members shall have a vote, which means we have 13 votes at the time being, a simple majority should be for the winner of the election, and the one who gets a simple majority should be the one elected, and the other candidate should be then the elected vice chair. There's a draft for a ballot. You can see on the screen, and so is how we should proceed. For me, the question is: we could start, if you agree, immediately after the meeting, so that Glenn should send out the ballots, and we should set it, a deadline. We could talk about normally put I think almost 1 week or so. Yeah. For that to be resent, but that is open, and any comment is welcome. Is there any comment from your side to that? Any question, any comment, any additional proposal? So that seems to be open.
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie Headland. I'm sorry, I see Ron Andruff has his name
right. Yes, I just saw him. Ron, please.
Thank you, Wolf. I was just questioning the role of chair, vice chair. No one knows how this looks going to go, but I did want to ask Avery if she was, because she's now already been 2 years as vice chair, if in fact, if this were to go either way, is she happy to put in another 2 years in either role, just to confirm that? I assume that's the case, but, you know, I would assume. Just wanted to confirm that with Avery. Thank you.
Hi, Avery.
Avery, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. See, I guess it's only 1 year unless it gets renewed, and so yeah. In agreeing to run you know, I guess there's an assumption that I'd lose, but assuming I'd lose, yeah, I'll do another year as vice chair. That's not a problem.
Okay. So, yes, okay, for our understanding, but what we agreed upon last time is we would like to elect a chair for 1 year with the option of an extension to a second year. So that's what it is about. Okay. Anything else?
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie Hedlund. I would just note an easy change to the ballot form that I or Glenn could make. We do say the ballot form would list the two nominees in alphabetical order. Currently, they are not. Aubrey is listed first and Ron is listed second, unless you are counting them as being listed by their first name, in which case they would be in alphabetical order, not by last name.
So, yes, I did it on the on the first name. So is that agreed? I don't see any problem with that. How about Glenn or Julie? How about the election period? What is usually to be done? So do we have 1 week? Shall we have one week to? Passport, that would mean, let me say, by Thursday next week, be sent back. Is that okay?
For this is Glenn.
Yes.
It normally shouldn't be shorter than 1 week.
Okay.
So it seems to me that Thursday next week would be all right.
Okay. So let's put the date of next Thursday. Put the ballot, and please, Glenn, you shall send it out to the 13 voters. Yes.
Yes, I'll do that straight after the call, vote for it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I'll put in the dates.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. So then it's item is. Is done right now. So the next item on the agenda is if with regards to deferral of motions, I remember from the last time that we had this already agreed upon, because there was just an addition which is done by Jay Scott. You can see here in red, in the affirmative or the negative, and it was decided that the chair, should write to the council just the result of our discussion to the council. There shall be no motion to the council to discuss that, but it's just a report from us to the council about this result. Leave it to the council. So that is still open. That is what I have to do. I will do that so that this shall be available to the council before the next meeting on the 20th of December. Do we have anything to talk about with regards to that item? I don't think so. There's also no comment on that, no. So that is agreed. I will do that and circulate that and send it to the council. And let's go to the next item, which is the update on public comments on the changes to the PDP manual for suspension of a PDP. And Julie will just brief us about the update.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Hedlund. The reply comment period closed on the 3rd of December. There was only one comment from the registry stakeholder group. It was in support of the change. So the next step would be that the SEI would consider whether to send a motion to the GNSO Council for consideration at its next meeting on the 20th of December. The motion deadline is next Wednesday, the 12th of December. I have drafted a draft motion. The motion would provide the background for the change. It would indicate that the SEI deliberated on this change and came to a consensus and proposed a revision of the PDP manual that was put out for public comment, and listing the public comment periods. I have this motion, which may be difficult for you to read because it's fairly small type, up in the Adobe Connect room. And, of course, all changes are welcome, and the result would be if the, you know, would be whether the council would then adopt the motion, in which case the PDP manual would be revised. It forms part of the GNSO operating procedures, so those also would be revised and posted if the motion was approved.
Okay, thank you very much. Indeed, my question is, so we need a, at the end, a motion. The council needs to approve a motion about that because it's PDP-related, isn't it? Is that the reason why?
This is Julie Headland. It needs a motion because any changes to the GNSO Council operating procedures require a motion because the PDP manual forms part of the procedures. The GNSO Council has to move to adopt those changes.
Okay.
And I see Anne has her hand up.
Yes, Anne, please.
Yes, this is Anne Aikman-Scalise with IPC. My question is, what is the mechanism by which a PDP is resumed in the PDP manual after being suspended or deferred? What does it just require a vote of the council? Are there instructions from the board? How is a PDP resumed?
I think there are maybe several steps, but Marika is the expert, please. Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think there is something in the PDP manual as well that talks about it. It should indicate when it would be resumed. So basically, if you suspend or I think we've done it in a previous occasion as well, that if you don't immediately start, you need to extend a clear date as well when you recommence. I don't think it requires an interim vote, but basically the motion to suspend should include, and I think that's what we've done with the previous motion as well, should include a clear date when the council either reviews the situation or commences again.
And this is Julie Headland. I am in the process of trying to bring up that section of the GNSO Council, of the PDP manual, which does speak directly to this. And if you'll give me a moment, hopefully I can quickly find that.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Julie. That would be helpful. Thank you very much, because that would what I would need as well, so in explaining about, because normally I understand that if I put it forward to the council, not everybody is very deeply informed about the PDP and those specialties about that. So that would be helpful if you put that to the screen and send it as well to me.
Yes, I think it is. This is Julie Headland again. I think it is indicated in the same section where the suspension appears. That is, that is in the section termination of a PDP prior to final report. And let me see what it says here, if I can quickly. Okay, and this may not be exactly your question, Anne, and I may have to have you repeat it, but that section does say, if there was no recommendation from the PDP team for its termination, the council is required to conduct a public comment forum first prior to conducting a vote on the termination of the PDP. But your question was a little bit different. Would you mind, Anne, repeating it for me?
The question, this is Anne again, relates to the mechanism in the PDP manual that we would be proposing for resumption of a PDP that is suspended.
Okay.
In other words, I'm sorry if I don't really remember our exact language about the suspension and the cause for the suspension. Resumption of the PDP may occur.
Let me, this is Julie Hedlund again, let me put that language from that section into the Adobe Connect Room quickly. Let me try to put it in a document and save it.
Okay, Julie, in between, Avery has a comment, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Avery. I think it's actually an extremely good question, and in fact, I don't remember us having actually dealt with that issue. I mean, when we had the last one, the one example that we had that brought this question up of how does one do it, I think it was actually put in the motion of when it would be reviewed or when it would restart. And I confess I didn't reread the PDP section before this meeting to check, but I don't remember us actually having anything in there specifically about resuming a PDP. So either my mind has gone blank with age or we don't have something.
And this is Julie Hedlund, just for everyone's reference, I've put the terminology of that Section 15, termination of a PDP prior to final report, in the Adobe Connect Room. This includes the new language on suspend. I'm sorry, I don't have it highlighted in this section, but essentially wherever you see the word terminate, it says terminate or suspend or termination or suspension. And then there's a footnote, which I haven't reproduced here, that describes what a termination is. Maybe it's that I should put that footnote in, too. Sorry for this. But I see there's Wolf Ulrich, while I'm doing this, there's I see Marika has her hand up as well.
Well, I think before Marika, if you look to the footnote, maybe that is describing something, because it says that all activities, in case of suspension, all activities are halted upon a decision of the Genus Council until further notice. So maybe Marika can explain us what does it mean.
It is, Marika, and I think exactly that's right. I think the footnote gives a basic indication that it talks as well as suspension is a time interval. So the assumption there is that indeed the motion for suspension, and exactly what Avery says, that as well the previous occasion where we had that specifically called out, what will be the time frame at which point the council would, resume it again. The assumption here is, and it's not specifically spelled out, but I think it's indirect as well, following from the footnote, where it's basically until further notice, and that notice is basically included in the motion, because I think the normal occasion would be where you suspend. As said, it's calling out specific reasons, so it's either that circumstances have changed, so either further information needs to be gathered or changes need to be made when you want to, and then you indicate by when that happens. Lack of community volunteers, again, there you might build in then, until more resources are available to do so. So I think it's, as Wolf Ulrich said, it's basically contained in the footnote that it's a time interval, so it needs to be indicated, and as well the council takes basically decides when the further notice happens.
This is Julie Hedlund. I've put the footnote up in the Adobe Connect Room for our reference.
Yes, thank you. Thanks very much. So that's what I understand. Normally, what I would understand so is, okay, it's the activities are halted then, and if somebody comes up from the council at any time and would like to pick up again or to resume the PDP, then it's going to be done. Or the other way, as you mentioned, Marika, if the council, by suspending the PDP, already includes in that motion a timeline, so at what time it should be resumed, then it's clear enough. But Okay, anyway, I see two. Anne at first, and then Avi, and then Ron, please. Anne.
I guess this is Anne again. What I'm questioning procedurally is that there appears to be a bit of a gap in particular, because the GNSO could suspend, and then the ICANN board would be stuck with respect to policy matters that it's directed the GNSO to address, and it doesn't, appear even that the ICANN board would have any authority to direct GNSO to resume the PDPB, or they probably would have the authority, but we haven't acknowledged that or provided for it. So, in other words, does it take a supermajority? I mean, it doesn't say that you have to specify a date for resumption. It doesn't say that, you can't suspend interminably. It doesn't say that it's subject to direction from the ICANN board. And so it seems to me that it creates the possibility of a total stalemate or total blocking, total inability to get work done that the board may need.
Okay. Thank you very much for this comment. Avery, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Avery. I think she's absolutely right. It sounds like we need to take this back to the writing board. And not that the board, I mean to the drawing board, but I said writing instead of drawing, and basically deal with those questions of, one has to put something in that indicates a restart date, or B, it's upon a majority vote or whatever of the council, or C, et cetera. But I think she's absolutely right. I think we do have to put away for resuming it into what we're doing at the moment, and I'm really glad you brought it up. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Ron, please.
Thank you very much. I just had to get off mute. Thank you, Anne, for bringing that up. That is, it's kind of funny. We all kind of lined up very quickly to support Anne's recommendation, because in fact there really are a couple of elements there that Avery brought up. This open-ended ability to suspend a PDP, really we've got to close that loop. So I, as much as I thought we'd more or less check this one off the list, I think it really has to come back again. And I think the rest of the language looks fine, particularly this footnote. It's just the issue now of nailing down exactly what we mean when a suspension takes place, how long that suspension can happen. Until it has to be brought back on the table. And I, for one, am anxious to not see this as a way for one constituency or a stakeholder group to block something that has meaningful import to the rest of the community. So not sure how we handle it, but I do know we need to take this back and give more thought to it. So thank you for bringing that to the table, Anne. That was really precious. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So what I understand right now is that it seems to us here that this the explanation in the footnote, which means until further notice, this is the point which should be more defined. So in that sense, well, to give a guideline, well, how in which way and to what extent at what time the PDB may be resumed as well. Let me refer to Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think we're slightly overthinking this because, if the council wouldn't want to do the work, why would they suspend? They would just terminate. The reason why this is such a high vote or why the voting threshold is so low is specifically for that reason. So if there's supermajority support, so support across the council that it needs to be terminated or needs to be suspended for very valid reasons. I think if there's a question that the council doesn't want to do the work, I would suspect they would just terminate the PDP. And I think that's more a question of dialogue between the board and the council. I don't think you can write a case like that into the procedures. Again, I think the same thing with the suspension. I think it's implicit. The PDP manual are guidelines. Those are not requirements. It's a guideline on how to follow the process. So I think, of course, we can write in that a suspension needs to include a timeline for when it resumes. But I think it's, as said, as Wolf also said, I think it's implicit in the footnote. You have a time interval, so you need to identify the time interval. And again, if there is supermajority support, you would hope as well if people really want to do the work, but there are very specific reasons why it can't proceed at that point in time, that those that have initiated work will actually press as well for a specific timeline or indicate, well, we don't need to do this now. Let's look at it again in 2 years' time. I think trying to write all the details in here, I think, is not going to be very helpful because I think you take away the flexibility that the guidelines currently provide. And again, I think we're trying to foresee circumstances that I'm not really sure you can write into the PDP manual as is. And on top of that, I find it a pity that we've come to this discussion now after we've worked on this for so long. This has been out for public comment, and we're basically about to send this issue off. I'm a bit surprised that it comes at such a late moment in time.
I understand, well, it's really maybe so, but it's okay. It helps us well, this discussion anyway. But let's just briefly think back. Why we did that? We put in the suspension because we had there was a feeling that there is something which doesn't mean termination, and this is suspension. So that means, and suspension means, okay, it's a kind of halting which should be taken up. So I really understand that, and I would also see, because we have these two elements in the PDP which now means termination or suspension, and so then there is a difference. So suspension in itself means that there should be something to be resumed again. So from my personal understanding, so everybody should understand that there is something in. The only question is, what does he mean, how long, and so on. And the question is then, should we put that into the PDP or not? But that is just a comment from my part here, which I had, and I saw different views. And at first I saw that you disagreed. Also, you don't have your hands raised, but do you have any comments on that again?
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. No more than I've already made. I think it requires clarity, and that we should get it right rather than be concerned about whether it's been out for public comment before or not.
Okay. And Ron, please, and then Jay Scott.
Thank you. My point is just simply that I appreciate Marika's comment, because this is one of those things that we thought we had done and dusted. But the reality is here, all I would like to see is some time frames so that no one can game the system. I think we close that loop, we're good to go. But it's really a discussion about the time frames, in my view. And once we have a handle on that, and I think in the next call we can probably nail that down. It just needs some thought between now and then. But as soon as that has been done, and the time frame has been established, then I think we can check this one. So that's really my point, and I just wanted to reiterate that it's just a timing question for our side. Thank you.
Okay, Ron, time frame is your item, and Jay Scott, please.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Jay Scott Evans. I think that it's implicit. I don't think we need to micromanage every detail. I think it's. I see Anne's point, but it seems to me the footnote says that a suspension is a temporary cessation of PDP, and a mere, and it says, so it seems to me a simple motion from somebody who wanted to re-engage is all that would be needed at the point, whenever point it would be needed. And I think there may be different time frames depending on the situation, so that's sort of where I think. I don't think there's a need to micromanage this and put down exactly how it's done, because then people just fall over themselves when things are done incorrectly. I think we just say a suspension is a possibility. Well, how you get a suspension, someone's going to have to move, I suppose, to suspend it, and that's going to have to be approved by the council. It seems to me that the same procedure would be followed to lift a suspension.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jay Scott. I have Julie, and then Anne.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie. I just want to note that that if we make, you know, if this group decides on any type of change that, that is substantive, and I think that really means anything more than perhaps a correction or dotting an I or crossing a T, meaning that if we put in a specific time or limiting time frame, then it's my understanding this would have to go out for public comment again. The public comment minimum time is 21 days, which actually brings us into the Christmas holiday. We would probably want to do a longer comment period to take into account the fact that people will not be around, probably like 30 days. So that would not start until after the end of our next meeting, which is December 20th, and would probably go into mid next year before we have a determination. And then there would be a reply comment period if we had any substantive comments. Just a point of a procedure.
Yes, thank you very much, Julie. It's helpful to see that and to look at this as well. Anyway, but we have to be clear between us here, so about the content at first, that everybody is on the same level. So so if we come to that, to that point, well, to think about, okay, should we or should we not modify that, then okay, you will come to that point maybe. But anyway, let's discuss it first. And you were the next, Anne? Yes.
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Anne again. With respect to assuming how this might be resumed, Avi raised earlier the question of whether it would be resumed by supermajority or by majority. It sounded as though what Jay Scott was saying is that we all assume that it would be resumed by a supermajority vote. I don't think that's necessarily clear. And then the other thing I keep struggling with here is assume that there is no agreement to ever resume it, that there's no, for example, supermajority vote to resume, that this puts the GNSO in the position of simply saying no to the ICANN board. If it's a board-initiated PDP, the board says to the GNSO, develop this policy-wise, give us the results. If there's a supermajority vote to suspend, and that's indefinite, quote-unquote, until further notice, this puts the board in the position of having no response from the GNSO, its policymaking advisor. I don't see how that is workable.
Did we see that correctly with regards to the voting threshold in this case? So that means suspending needs supermajority and resuming as well. So from my understanding, I was understanding Jay's call. That means, okay, a simple motion could be the one which for resumption, and motion means normally a majority. But okay, maybe I'm wrong. So is there somebody else, you know, who could clarify that with regards to that? Avi, please.
Yeah, I don't know whether you're right or wrong, and that's just the issue. I think it's easy to solve in a sense if we make a decision. I think Julie's right. We do have to put it back through. I think we just, you know, admit that, you know, at the last minute, somebody and basically saw a hole in it. I think it's easy to say it should either include, you know, a time for resumption, or resumption is by a majority vote, and if that's what we think is the right answer. But I think if we don't say something, then exactly it gets to the question of, okay, how do we do this? And then if you have part of the council assuming, well, to stop it took a supermajority, so it must take a supermajority to restart it, as opposed to, but no, it really should just be a majority. If why create that problem for them if we see the problem now? And it is a relatively easy thing to fix. Yes, it does take another pass through the review. and, you know, too bad we sent something out before it was cooked. Nobody saw it in review. It's good that somebody caught it before it got stuck in there, and all of a sudden we had created a problem for the council. So I think it's unfortunate we got here. I agree, but we got here.
Okay, maybe Marika can, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just to explain indeed what happened with the previous instance where we had a suspension, where we indeed had a vote of the council. At that point, we didn't have these rules yet, so I think they just did a simple majority vote. And I think they basically said, this PDP will continue, I think, at the end of November. They put a date in there. And that was actually as well an assumption that on that date it would just restart. But then circumstances had changed, and then the council actually decided to start earlier. They didn't need to take a vote on that. They basically just decided with, you know, consensus going around the room, does anyone object, that we actually start earlier to go ahead. So my understanding of the rules as they're written here is indeed that there would be a vote that has a supermajority on the suspension of a PDP. And as I think the footnote spells out, just clearly suspension is a time interval. So that implies to me that you suspend for a certain time interval, and that time interval would be indicated in the motion you put forward. And then as that interval ends, of course, the council then has another opportunity to say it needs to be suspended for a longer time for whatever reasons, or maybe at that point in time there's no more need for the PDP, so they might decide to actually terminate. Or if nothing else, it would automatically start again based on the time interval that has been set. So again, you know, my view is I think it's already contained in the footnote that the suspension is a time interval, and that of course needs to be specified then when a vote is taking on the suspension. But people feel very strongly that that is not clear enough. You know, it's up to you then to suggest some additional language to further clarify that.
Thank you very much, Marika. So we have still, as I understand, some uncertainty here. So with regards to what could happen in the case, so if something is suspended, is a real, chance given to resume that, and to what extent, and how is it done? On the one hand, I understand, what is written, so it says, okay, it is suspension in itself is something which means it should be resumed. It should be resumed again. So that's clear. That's clear for that. So the only question is, shall we describe here that the council should put in a time interval or a time frame at what time this PDP should be resumed again. So this is the specific question I have. Should that be put in, or should be more specific details put in into that description? Chase Cobb, please.
How about if we just insert the term stated in the footnote? So it now reads, suspension is a stated time interval during which there is a temporary suspension of the PDP. I don't think that would need to have to go back out to public comment, because it's merely clarifying, and it clearly states that has to be stated.
Okay.
So, in other words, at the end of that stated period, it would resume.
I understand. So that means suspension is a stated time interval during which, and so that's your proposal. What do others mean? Anne, please.
If we do that, how do we clarify the issue of majority or supermajority to resume? Or it doesn't matter at that point because...
I think it automatically resumes when the stated time period comes in. It's suspended for 6 months from the supermajority vote. And then the 6 months, it starts again.
So if, you know, I would understand the same, and so in this respect. So otherwise, you know, if somebody is looking for, okay, to to terminate that, that you should look for a termination vote on that. On the other hand, if it's a stated time, it means the council has them to state the time about that, 6 months or a number of months, and then automatically it's going to be resumed, or the council is extending that suspension period as well.
Is that period in any way subject to direction from the ICANN board, or not at all subject to direction from the ICANN board?
In any case, well, if that is, you know, if there is an originator outside the GNSO, I understand in any case that something has to be communicated to the originator of that, what is going on in between and why we are doing that. So this is a rationale has to be given anyway. But, okay, others? Jay Scott, are you still? You have your hands up? Jay Scott? No. Dan Ron, please.
Thank you, Chair. No, I certainly agree with the path that we're taking right now. Jay Scott's suggestion that that minor edit doesn't have to go back to public comment, as far as I see it, and the, adding the word stated, settles the issue for me. It's really a question here about making sure that no one can move to get a PDP suspended indefinitely. And I think that all of the language we have is there. I also agree we shouldn't overthink this and try to over-engineer it to too many things that are not functional. Our job is to knock the edges off to make this thing round. And I think that's a simple way forward. It's a light approach, and it solves the problem we need. The key here is obviously nobody should be able to capture or push things off because they don't happen to like what's coming down the pipe. And I think we've got that. So for my part, I fully support what Jay Scott has said.
Okay.
Thank you.
I see also on the chat, Ray Fassett, he was agreeing to that. Are there principally objections to that? Or any other proposal, let me say, from others who could be it in a way which it say think about it, it should be done. Otherwise, if there is nothing, so I do not see an objection to that. I would suggest that we put then into the footnote that what Jake Scott was saying, so amending that to the suspension is a stated time interval during which there is a temporary cessation of the PDP, et cetera, et cetera.
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie. Yes. If you like, I can send that language to the list and ask if there are any objections, and then we can proceed accordingly or not with the motion.
Yes, that would be helpful. So when is the motion deadline for the next council meeting, Julie?
This is Julie Headland. The motion deadline is next Wednesday, December 12th.
Next Wednesday. So that would be helpful if you could send it out immediately. So and ask for, let me say, any objection or comments on that by Monday. By Monday next week. So if there's no objection, then I would put it forward to the council as a motion then. Okay? Good. Then let's do it that way. Thank you. It was helpful, well, and it shows me that we have to really to think about in some more detail sometimes. But it's also helpful, well, to have somebody looking into that once again. Thank you very much. So the next point was raising an issue which was, to my understanding, was also solved because we were of the opinion to support the maintaining the status quo. Anybody else want to comment. I don't see any comment on that. Though that's what I would like to then to put forward as well to the council. And yes, Ron, thank you very much. So then let's go to the last point is the status update on the working group survey. So Julie provided us and put it on the web and sent it out to us well to check the surveys we have so far. I've tried to answer that. I don't know whether others did. And maybe Julie can update us. Please, Julie.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. I have to apologize. I realize I did not go in and see who actually has taken the survey thus far. But my point in putting that out there was that it would be useful if the members of the SCI could test the survey and see if there are any amendments or changes or clarifications that I could make to it before we put it out to one of the working groups. I think we had suggested the IRTP Part C, and Marika can correct me if I'm wrong as
yes.
to which part that was. But I thought it might be useful if members of this group could test it out before we put it to a wider audience. But that's certainly up to all of you to decide if it's necessary.
Okay. I did it already. And one, please.
Thank you, Chair. I went back and looked at that. I went to the SCI page that we use our wiki, and then I went to look for the latest guidelines. And for some reason, and I'm not sure if I found the right one or not, but it seems to me these guidelines are coming from version 5, February 2010. Is that our latest guidelines for working groups? That's my first question to staff. And my second question is, if in fact this is the working group guidelines that is our standard issue at this point in time, then why are we not emailing this to everyone in a working group when they join that working group right from the get-go? Or maybe we are and I'm just not aware of it, but I've worked on, have been on many working groups that I'm not aware of having received the working group guidelines in the past when I joined a working group. So those are the two comments I wanted to bring to the table, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Marika can clarify, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. When working groups start, I think indeed that is the latest version you're referring to if it's on the GNSO website. Basically, what we do when a working group kicks off, we typically send them all the required materials for reading, which include the working group guidelines. And in addition to that, at the first meeting, we take them through all the required reading materials. So for PDP working groups, that includes as well taking them through the PDP manual and the requirements, also outlining to them the working group guidelines and which sections are in there that are of relevance to their work. So we do try to do that at the start of the working group. Of course, we cannot force them to read it, but we do point out to them that they should read it, and as well in the first meeting we really try to go through it and point the main elements, because some parts in there of course are focused on developing charters, which are mainly of relevance when we have drafting teams, so then we focus on that part. If it's a working group, like for example in the PDP working group, we focus on those sections that are more focused on the workings of the working group and how consensus is assessed and how they can object to rulings of the chair and those kind of things. So that is being done.
Okay, Marika, and there was a question from one regarding the version, whether it's the last version.
Chair, may I just make one more comment? I'm sorry, it's Ron.
Yes, Ron, I just added your question with regards to the actuality of the version 5, number 5. Marika?
So,
yeah, this is Marika. The latest version, and I'm not pretty sure because I don't think if you have version 5, maybe that was one of the versions we're actually reviewing. But the latest version, I'll post the link for you now. Yes, it's actually, it's Operating Procedures version 5.5. And there the annex is the GNSO Working Group Guidelines. So I'll post the link now in the wiki here. But for those kind of documents, the best place for final versions is actually to check the GNSO Council website, I think, under Ongoing Work, Council Activities, Procedures. And that's where you have the operating procedures, the PDP manual, the working group guidelines. And those are basically the latest versions of those documents.
Okay, thank you very much. Ron, please.
Thank you, Marika. That's excellent, because I think that's the tricky part. And the document I saw was about 53 pages, so it's not an easy read, I think, for people who come in new to ICANN. So I'm not sure. I'm going to give that a read and come back on our next call and bring more to the table. But maybe there's something we can do to edit that somewhat and bring that down to a more manageable piece of documentation. On the other hand, if in fact we need 53 pages to explain to people what their job is in these working groups, then by all means we need to keep it. But thank you for putting that to the list, and I will be looking at that and coming back with comments on it at a future time. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Juan.
And this is if I can add to that. I actually just posted as well, because exactly to that point, what we did do is prepare a summary of that. So I posted that link as well, and that really focuses on a working group member. So if you look at that, I think that document is only 4 pages. That tried in a nutshell to summarize the main sections in the document, but still emphasizing that, of course, people should really look as well at the full document. But again, I think this is indeed exactly what the SDI is tasked with as well. If you feel that indeed working group guidelines are too long, things should go out, they're out of date, is the summary, is that sufficient? Should change be made? Should we look at developing a special training for it? I think that those are all things that are within the SDI's remit to look at and make suggestions on how we can improve that. Because I do agree we do take working group members through it at the start of each working groups, but it's very difficult to make this more interesting or more lively, and for them really to encourage them to read it. So if any suggestions there, I think that the SDI should be feel more than free to take those up.
Okay, any further comment? Not yet. So then the question is, what shall we do with that survey? So there was a proposal to send it out to the to the IRTPC working group members, or in addition to others. Why shouldn't we start right now then with the IRTPC? Or is Julie, what is your deadline? Did you give us a deadline for answering the survey? I mean the SEI members, when you would like to have an overview about.
This is Julie Hedlund. I did not. I just hoped we could discuss whether or not the SEI members here today thought it was necessary for them to test the survey to make sure they thought it was clear. Mm-hmm. If people would prefer, we can simply send it out to the IRTPC members and indicate that we would like to get their feedback on it, whatever is your preference.
Yes, so okay, it's my personal preference would say, okay, let's start, because we have also to learn by starting and doing things. But okay, I'm open also to others. And I see Ron with a comment, please. Ron.
Thanks, Chair. I would suggest that it might be a good idea for all of us on the SCI to actually review the guidelines themselves and then fill in this form before it goes anywhere else. Our job is to really do the light touch, but knock the rough edges off. So I think before we send this on to anyone, we need to do our homework. And so I would recommend that we put this out for our committee to review between now and the next call, so that when that when we get on the next call, we've all read the guidelines and we've had a chance to do the survey, and we'll have concrete examples of things we like and don't like to try to find a better document, or perhaps just sign off on the one we have, and hopefully that's what we're going to do. But I think it's really important that we do that exercise before we send it to someone else. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Juan. It's a good proposal. Actually, I found some minutes to do that already. So mine is in the hands of Julie, and I would like to encourage you all to do that. So, then let's do that in that respect. So until the next meeting, then Julie shall come back with the result of that, and then we can send it out after the next meeting. That would be helpful. But that brings me to that point The question when the next meeting shall be. We still have, now is the 6th today, on the 20th, there shall be a council meeting. Would that also be feasible for the others? For me, it could be done on the 20th as well to have a meeting. But I have to check when the council meeting shall take place. What time is it?
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie Hedlund. The council meeting is at 1500 UTC.
Okay, yes. So, and then the SCI could be later on.
That's right. This is Julie. The SCI then would be later in the day or in the evening for.
Yes. Is that agreed? Any other proposal to that? So then let's fix that for the 20th, same time as now, and coming back with this survey. Yes. Okay, and then hopefully we can then also close the other items. So I will provide for the deferral of motions and for the one of the other items that was the raising an issue, I would give a report to the city council on that, and then the other items can be closed next time, I think so. Yeah? Okay, so is there anything else so you would like to discuss? I don't see anything, so now it's time then. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Thank you.